You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. Tony, Facebook is changing its name to Meta. Would you ever change your name?
Tony Kornheiser, I already did. My last name used to begin with a P. It's like, I don't, you know, Kornheiser, you know. Okay, look, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me just tell people that before the show started, I asked you what Meta meant, and you went through a long explanation.
Yeah,
but why don't they just change their name to Meta World Peace and pay off Ron Artest with stock or something like that? Why don't they do that?
That's a good idea. Also, I mean, Pornhub, one of my
favorite websites.
Doesn't
he own that?
Yeah. He probably does at this point. Yeah.
Welcome to PTI, kids. Wilbon is in Chicago to play Benny the Bull at tonight's game. So I'm joined by our great friend, the host of the ESPN Daily Podcast, my oldest grandson, Mr. Pablo Torre. Scant cheers. And we begin today with the World Series. For the second game in a row, the outcome was decided in the early innings. The Astros built four runs on five singles in the second inning, and they went up 5-1. Jose Altuve broke out of a 2-for-26 postseason slump with a double and a homer. Pablo, are you giving either team the edge from here?
Yeah, Tony, I give the Astros the edge at this point from here because going into this whole thing, I thought, okay, this is offense versus defense. Astros offense, Braves defense, Braves pitching, Braves starting pitching in particular. And after game one, what happens to Charlie Morton, their ace? He breaks his leg. What happens in game two? The guy who had led all of Major League Baseball, Tony, the entire sport, in ERA after the All-Star break, now has a postseason ERA of around 5. And so that big advantage dissipating tells me I should probably respect what the Astros have going on from here.
So the Astros, the case I would make for the Astros is they hit. They really hit. Let me just go through these numbers. They have scored 5 or more runs for the 10th time in 11 postseason games. Yeah. You can shut them down here or there, but they're going to come back and hit because they led the majors in runs this year. They had 863 runs, and they have to hit because their pitching isn't very good. The case I would make for the Braves, Pablo, is that they win close games in the postseason. Okay, they won 3 close games from the Brewers. They won 3 close games from the Dodgers. So then the mindset is affected. If you get in a close game, they have confidence they can win. If you get in a close game, because with the Astros, it's sometimes tough to get in a close game. And their pitching, as you're suggesting, also is no good. Charlie Morton, broken leg. Max Fried, let me just give you worse numbers than that 5 ERA. In his last 3 postseason starts, he has given up, 13 runs in 15 and two-thirds innings, and he's now their number one starter. So, go ahead.
No, the number one starter and also the guy they were going to bring back on short rest. Ironically, the biggest upside to me off of game two, Tony, is that, Fried got blown up so clearly and decisively by the second inning, they didn't actually need to use their really good relievers. Like the Braves' top 4 guys in their bullpen, they were spared. So maybe that's the silver lining in all of this. But let me ask you this too, Tony. Did you know that Jose Altuve was now going to be the second leading home run hitter in postseason history? When you talk about that offense, I had no idea he was up there.
His first hit last night was a tremendous double down the left field line. He's a really great hitter. He's a former MVP. I don't think that the home field means much. I mean, I don't think Atlanta's going to win 3 in Atlanta. I think it's going to go back to Houston one way or another. What I'm honestly saying to you is that I don't know, okay? I just don't give any team a particular edge, and so I will repeat what I said the other day, which is the easier narrative for me is if Houston loses. So then you can say the only time they win is when they cheat. The more complicated narrative is the Patriots narrative. Win when you cheat, win when you don't cheat. That's confusing to me.
Tony, speaking of complicated narratives, we move on to football because the NFL Network is reporting that Devontae Adams is now officially out for the Packers' big game against the Cardinals tonight. But perhaps even that will not harsh Aaron Rodgers' mellow, Tony, because Rodgers, whose disgruntlement famously was the NFL's top preseason storyline, their top preseason narrative, now tells Pat McAfee that he has a great coaching staff that he loves. And he adds this, quote, "I'm still in Green Bay and having the time of my life," end quote. Do you believe Aaron Rodgers' narrative here, Tony?
No, I don't believe that. What I believe is that it must be fun to be Pat McAfee because Rodgers tells him all this stuff all the
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Here's what I believe. I believe that Aaron Rodgers calculated saying this, coming out of six straight wins and a 6-1 record, to say this to the fans of Green Bay, which is, I love you. Please don't hate me when I'm gone next year. Because I believe that Rodgers will be gone next year. In fact, I believe that if the Packers came to him tomorrow afternoon and said, Aaron, you're free right now, go make a deal, that by tomorrow night he'd be on the phone to five or six other teams. And that's what I believe. I also believe that he loathes the Green Bay general manager. And I understand that. A coach might look really good at 6-1, but this is the same coach that took the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands in the playoff last year, which really got him angry. All the GM has done is draft Jordan Love, who at the moment, we have no idea if he can play because he's not getting into the games.
Yep. No, Tony, Aaron Rodgers, every time I hear him talk to McAfee or to Lebatard or somebody, he sounds like a man who is driven by spite, who is trying to convince us otherwise. He sounds like a guy who is driven by vengeance, but is trying to say, no, I'm a Buddhist now. I'm here for the present. I'm here for gratitude. And I know you, Tony, as another man driven by spite, that really what's going on is he's playing a longer game. You mentioned the name that I thought of immediately, Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers. What he did not say is that he loves his front office. And what this says to me, Tony, is that what he's trying to make clear to those fans is, I love it here so much. You love me here so much. The reason I'm not going to be here next year, the reason I wanted to leave, it's not you. It's not even the coaches. It's not the players. It's the GM. He is trying to make it so that on the way out, it's even more embarrassing for his actual enemy, Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I mean, I think that everybody, and I speak for you and I in this, finds Aaron Rodgers intriguing because he's tremendously passive aggressive, because he hints vaguely at what's really going on, but doesn't tell you exactly what's going on. A lot of mystery there because he always tries, as he's doing right here, to build a back door out of the situation that he has put himself in. And the reason we pay attention to him and all this intrigue is because he's a great quarterback. If this was Jared Goff saying this, nobody would actually care. But Aaron Rodgers is that good. He is the MVP. He is a former Super Bowl champion. I think he's so good that he could win 6 or 7 with the Jets. That's how good I think he is. Mm. I think it'll be harder tonight because tonight he's missing his two best wide receivers. I think, honestly, Pablo, if they win tonight, my hat's off to Aaron Rodgers and actually to the coaching staff for building in a new game plan in about a day and a half. We'll move on. Go to basketball. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say the Cardinals, I agree. J.J. Watt out, Chandler Jones back in. A win over that team, impressive by any standard. Absolutely.
Absolutely. The Lakers blew a 26-point lead last night. 26 points, which hadn't happened to them in 25 years. At the end of the game, Oklahoma City was up by 5 points, and Darius Baisley stole a pass, went down the court, and dunked emphatically. This really frosted Russell Westbrook, who began jawing at Baisley, telling him, you don't do that. And then he got himself tossed. Pablo, did Westbrook have good reason to be upset with Baisley?
Yeah, look, I appreciate Russell Westbrook's aggressive aggression as opposed to the passive aggression of the Rodgers thing we just talked about. But no, if anybody on this planet could appreciate totally empty stat padding, I would imagine it would have been Russell Westbrook. That's what this is. It was a me first moment in a team game. I did not know that Russell Westbrook was going to be this sour about it for that reason, but I also suspect that it had something to do with the fact that he knows when his hands are on the wheel as they are right now with LeBron James out because of that ankle injury, he knows that the spotlight's on him and he's frustrated and he isn't as good. He's not as good as he wants to be, Tony. That's what it comes down to.
All right. So I saw this on replay, and it wasn't like a 360. It wasn't like something designed for the TikTok universe. I mean, you know, they hadn't won a game all year. They're at home. They beat the Lakers, albeit without LeBron. They beat the Lakers. I could understand the kids' enthusiasm. Now, full disclosure, I'm not just old school. I'm preposterously old. Okay, I'm an old person. And I tend to believe in self-policing in sports. I don't like bat flips particularly. I don't like preening particularly. I really don't like when somebody stands over someone and poses over them.
Yeah, and, no, you like the penalties.
I appreciate when a pitcher plunks somebody in the ribs for something that happened a week before. So I'm aligned with Russell Westbrook on that. But honestly, in this particular case, even though I'm probably 60-40 against letting the kids just play, in this particular case, Pablo, I don't think this is the end of Western civilization. I mean, I really don't.
Well, the bad news for the Lakers is that it seems like a signal that it might be the end of them. The Thunder, Tony, just to be clear here, I know it's October still. The Thunder are the worst team in the league. The Lakers taking the Spurs to overtime and then losing to this Thunder team, that should feel apocalyptic to people who think, wait a minute, we don't have issues here. We'll figure it out come the postseason. The Lakers have a whole lot to figure out right now.
So I hope I'm correct in this. I know everybody knows that Russell Westbrook got a triple-double last night. I think it was a quadruple-double because he had 10 turnovers. And
that's
you
right.
can't ask LeBron to accommodate himself to you if you just blew a 26-point lead to a terrible
team. Right.
Can't. Let's take a break. Coming up, which 7-0 team should be favored on Saturday, Michigan or Michigan State?
And who's going to last longer in their job, Eagles coach Nick Sirianni or Lions coach Dan Campbell? Toss-up is next.
By the way, Lakers now give up 115 or more in every game. You can't win a championship that way.
No, Tony.
You can't do it.
Even when Anthony Davis and LeBron were sharing the court, they were not good on those lineups. What they're doing lineup-wise, many, many questions they have to figure out. It's not going to be good.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, eats 17 fun-sized Three Musketeers bars, drinks a half a bottle of red, and then wonders why he can't stay up past the first quarter. What's first?
Toss up, which 7-0 team do you favor on Saturday, Michigan or Michigan State?
So it's in East Lansing, Pablo. Jim Harbaugh has never beaten a top 10 team on the road. He's 2-12 overall against top 10 teams and 0-5 on the road. What makes me think Harbaugh can win is that he's due. And I don't know how Michigan State, which stunk last year, is suddenly so good. And their coach, Mel Tucker, is not really experienced as a Big Ten coach in important games. What I'm actually saying to you is all rationalizations because I'd like to see Harbaugh win. I'd like to see Harbaugh make the playoffs. And I think that Michigan is a really good public school, much like Binghamton, now rated number one public school in New York State. And I love their helmets. That's all I got.
Yeah, no, Tony, I just heard you draw a nice big heart-shaped thing around Jim Harbaugh's name and then discuss how Binghamton is the Harvard of upper New York State.
Of Broome County, baby. The Harvard of Broome County.
That's right. That's right. Apologies. That's on the Wikipedia page, I believe, now. So, look, the Jim Harbaugh thing is funny to me, Tony, because he doesn't have a signature win. He's been doing this job since 2015. He has nothing that's memorable to show for it. It's incredible.
That's right.
Right? And so this game is only actually a prelude to bigger games. He gets Penn State on the road, Ohio State after that. I hope for his sake that he wins this, but give me Mel Tucker, even though I, like you, have no idea how Michigan State is this good.
Next.
Toss-up. They face each other on Sunday. Which new head coach do you expect to have their job longer, Nick Sirianni or Dan Campbell?
This is easy. This is Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell has somehow affiliated himself with the pain and suffering of Detroit Lions fans over what seems like centuries. He has become their champion. All he has to do is win a couple of games. He's trying everything. He cried the other day after loss. Has Sirianni cried? Sirianni's in the worst city in America if you lose, Philadelphia.
That's right.
And he's not going to have a long leash. The owner fired a guy who won the Super Bowl 4 years ago. Sirianni has no chance without a lot of wins, none zero.
Tony, Nick Sirianni is throwing out gardening metaphors to explain why they need patience. He's talking about how every day you water your plants, you fertilize them every day, you do all of that. I'm a plant guy. I have like 22 plants, I believe, in my house right now. You're a plant guy, too. I don't know if people know that about you. You have decades-old plants at your home. Nick Sirianni's own metaphor, Tony, tells me why this isn't going to be a good ending for him. He's talking about watering his plants, fertilizing them every day. The number one threat to houseplants in America is overwatering. People have to realize this. Too much water, those roots get rotted. It's not like they get stronger. Nick Sirianni seems to be overcoaching and overwatering and ensuring that he's going to get booed in the end.
Sirianni would be a disaster if he had any succulents. They don't want water at all.
Yep,
his
made for the desert.
His methodology is flawed, and he's in Philadelphia. You have to win. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Mark Ingram is back where he started.
And will the Knicks hand the Bulls their first loss tonight?
Here's the first sign of old age. I now scream all the time, thinking that you're so far away that you'll only hear me if I scream. I can't go on like this. I'm screaming.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 60th birthday, Bob Melvin. Would it surprise you to know Melvin is baseball's longest tenured manager? It surprised me. Melvin just completed his 11th season in Oakland, where despite an annually low payroll, Melvin has guided the A's to the playoffs six times, though never advancing. By the way, the second longest tenured manager is Terry Francona in Cleveland. Melvin's overall managerial record, counting his time in Seattle and Arizona, is 1,346 and 1,272. Melvin was a backup catcher for 11 seasons with stops in Detroit, San Francisco, Baltimore, Kansas City, New York with the Yankees, and Chicago with the White Sox. He batted .232. He hit only 35 home runs. More than one-third of current Major League managers were catchers. In addition to Melvin, there are A.J. Hinch, Mike Matheny, Brian Snitker, Tori Lavullo, Joe Madden, Scott Service, Kevin Cash, Joe Girardi, Brandon Hyde, David Ross, and Derek Shelton. Pablo, what teams do they all manage in less than 10 seconds?
Derek Shelton, I think, is the Pirates guy. David Ross is the Cubs guy. You mentioned the guy who does the Diamondbacks stuff, right? The Tori Lavullo guy, I believe. And then there are like a million guys who, if you walked them into this room right now, I would have no idea who they are.
Happy anniversary, Elmore Smith. On this day 48 years ago, the Lakers center blocked an astonishing 17 shots in a win over Portland. Those 17 blocks set the NBA record in the first month of the first season that blocks began being officially tracked. Not since Shaquille O'Neal had 15 blocks in 1993 has anyone come close to 17. I feel I must add parenthetically that had blocks been official in the 60s, Bill Russell or Will Chamberlain would probably have this record. Smith finished that season with 4.85 blocks a game. That stands third behind Mark Eaton's 5.56 in 1985 and Manute Bol's 4.96 in 1986. They're not blocking shots like they used to. Smith averaged 13.4 points and 10.6 rebounds over his career. He was a third overall pick in the 1971 draft by the Buffalo Braves. Anyone remember the Buffalo Braves? I do. They had Ernie DiGregorio, Bob McAdoo, and Randy Smith. They left Buffalo for San Diego, who wouldn't, and now they're the Los Angeles Clippers.
Tony, I had no idea that 17 was still the blocks record. That's a record, by the way, that feels like it's going to stand up for the end of time, because with all these three-pointers now that teams are shooting, they're harder to block. That's a greater percentage of shots from the floor. I don't know if anyone's going to get to 18 at this rate.
No, because they don't shoot in the paint enough to get a big guy to do it. A melancholy trails to Bob Ferry. The longtime Washington Bullets general manager died yesterday at 84. Ferry ran the Bullets from 1973 to 1990, and in that 17-year period, the Bullets made the playoffs 13 times, reached the finals three times, and won their one championship in 1978. Those were the Bullets of Elvin Hayes and the face of the franchise, Wes Unseld, whom Ferry later hired as the team's coach. In the 31 seasons since Ferry left that position, the Washington franchise has only made the playoffs 10 times and has never reached the conference finals. The affable and gregarious Ferry was the seventh overall pick in the 1959 draft. He played 10 NBA seasons with the St. Louis Hawks, Detroit Pistons, and Baltimore Bullets. Among the big men the 6'8 Ferry guarded was Wilt Chamberlain, and Ferry joked that he guarded Wilt by holding on to his jersey. Ferry's son Danny also played in the NBA and also became a general manager.
Tony, Bob Ferry, admittedly a blind spot for me. You're describing, though, a team, a guy. It sounds like he was fun to cover, that team once upon a time was actually fun to cover.
Yeah, and they were actually good. We're running out of show. We go to the big finish. The Wolves and the Bucks shot a combined 96 three-pointers last night. Your thoughts?
My thought is that it's good, I guess, strategy, except they missed 69, which is not so nice. Mark Ingram, Tony, is back on the Saints after the Texans traded him for draft picks. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, well, it takes a little pressure off Kamara, don't you think? Kamara doesn't have to handle the ball all the time. Barcelona fired manager Ronald Koeman. Is that deserved?
I think it's deserved. Also super unsurprising. They'd also gotten rid of Leo Messi. Maybe you heard of him. Kind of a tough deal for that guy. College football now. Troy at number 24, Coastal Carolina tonight. Who you got?
Troy once beat LSU at LSU. But I'm going to pick Coastal Carolina, where Dustin Johnson went. Last one, the Knicks at the unbeaten Bulls tonight. Who you got?
I got the Knicks bing-bonging all over Mike Wilbon's head tonight, Tony. Give me the Knicks.
As Wilbon would say, I got the clicker. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Please check out ESPN Daily on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get good podcasts. And now here is SportsCenter.
Eat it, Stony Brook. We're number one.
Yeah.